You're listening to The Joy of Yes with me, your host, Graham Pate, at www.thejoyofyes.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm here with my friend Christopher Borger, who is an improviser with Rapid Fire Theater. He's also a part of Marvin Berry, which is a sketch comedy troupe. And Marvin Berry has traveled all over North America, including Red Deer. And they're going to be heading the Sketchfest Festival in San Francisco on January 23rd, 2020.
Yeah.
And he also works for Atomic Improv, an exciting improv troupe in Edmonton, which recently played at Spotlight Cabaret, and you had a pretty cool musician, I finally recall.
Oh, man, the coolest musician in Edmonton. We had none other than Graham.
Hey. It was me, yeah. It was kind of fun. Yeah, so thanks for coming.
Thank you very much for having me here on your sweet podcast.
Oh, my sweet boy. In my this room, which is a bit like a war zone. It's pretty bizarre. It's a soundproof room, but it's all like spiky walls, and it's
nice. It's threatening in a soft way.
Yeah. It's a soft threat.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We went for dinner before we came here. So we've got full bellies and we've had a great conversation.
Oh, we've done some hot goss.
Yeah, we've done the gossip. So now we have to get into a serious mode.
Right.
Yeah. As we both laugh. So I'm just interested, Christopher, how you got started with improv.
Totally. I don't know, I guess classic story growing up in Canada, if you're a young lad, or I don't know, probably a pretty international thing, is like sports, get good at sports, because that's your activity to do. And I always found, at least in my friend group, I was a lot worse at sports than everyone else. So in junior high, I was, you know, trying to figure out what you want to do. So I was like, I don't know, can I try out for the volleyball team? And, like, I could kind of make the worst volleyball team, so I played in, like, some bad club teams for a while. And then in high school, my sister started doing improv at the high school team. And the high school coaches at that time were Jolene Ballandine and Tim Makula as 19-year-olds. And I remember going to go watch my sister in the high school competitions and being like, this is amazing. This is so cool. I'd never seen improv before. And when I'd watch it, I'd sit with my dad and lean over and tell him what I would say. Or it's like, here's a joke they could say, here's a joke. And I remember him laughing and making my dad laugh in an inauthentic way. It's like impossible. He's not a gloomy guy. He likes to laugh, but like I would say if you say something and he doesn't find funny, he'll just kind of politely smile at you. So I remember being, if like I'm making Morris laugh, then maybe this is funny. And then auditioned for the high school team once I got into high school. So started there, and they have high school competitions in Alberta, as you have sat through many and I'm sure enjoyed seeing teenagers improvise for 3-4 hours at a time.
Yeah.
You can tell the joy of that. So did that. And again, I had Jolene and Tim as coaches, and went to Ottawa for like the national tournaments for the CIG competitions and had a blast and kind of found, I guess, something that I was good at. So that felt really nice as a teenager to, like, have positive feedback at something. I was really, really like the attention that you got from doing improv. I think as teens or humans like that, having positive feedback from teachers for the first time was also nice. I know, like, in junior high, teachers generally didn't like me because I was super off the walls, kind of had ADD and was very bored all the time and also really wanted attention but didn't know how to get it in a positive way. So I think improv was just like, oh, here's good feedback. Yes, that's funny. Now you can go be a weirdo for a couple hours a day. So now in class, you're going to be more focused because you can blow off all this steam. So I was like, oh, this really helps me out with stuff. So found that to be really helpful. And then after I graduated, I was fortunate enough to be asked to audition for Rapid Fire and got in. And since then, that was, oh, man, 8.5 years ago that was, that I've been in Rapid Fire now. So then ever since that, just kept on doing shows with them and kind of branched off and have traveled and done other comedy things past that. But that was my start, was the high school team. And really just, I guess, yeah, just having positive feedback from something. It was like, oh, my God.
But it's really, cool. It's interesting that you say that, you know, the improv almost gave you permission to be zany and crazy and wild. And by letting that part of you escape or do something on stage, it helped you to focus in other areas because it kind of was that release. I find that really interesting.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my buddies who was a high school teacher about one of his students who was in high school who was a really good young improviser. And he's now in high school, and I'm a substitute teacher, and I've happened to sub this kid back when he was in junior high as well. And when he was in junior high, he was just like a maniac. I subbed him when he was in phys ed, so like really off the walls, would always be doing exactly what you asked them not to do. And now that he is in improv, has turned into like, reminds me a lot of myself, I guess. And there's like, oh, now he's like focused in class and is behaved and can blow off that steam. And yeah. So yeah, weirdly, I think improv is necessary for those like class clowns to be like, all right, you can get your attention. You can be a weirdo. You can get people to laugh at you. But now can you shut up during math? That'd be great.
But is there not the challenge I would think with that is in improv, it's about being able to listen to your scene partners mm-hmm. and being able to yes and what they say. So if you're that zany and you are trying to let off steam, it must be challenging, I can imagine, to learn, yes, you can let off that steam, but you still have to listen. You can't take over the stage.
Yes, and that was also something that I learned early on in improv from just crashing and burning. I remember I was in grade 10, there's a CIG tournament, which is kind of like the big Canadian improv games. And that's the one where if you win your province, you got to go on a cool school trip to Ottawa and compete against kids from Vancouver who wear scarves and smoke marijuana. It's very exciting. And
wow, that's disturbingly specific.
But it was, yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't invited, but oh, man, where did we go off from that? Where did that tangent start?
Yeah, we were talking about how you have to be able to listen on stage.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, one of my first times playing with the high school team that I got bumped up to, we were doing a herald, not like a traditional herald, but the CIG herald, which is really just like, I don't know, a bunch of short scenes. Is there a better term for that?
Besides? Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, a bunch of short scenes that are each like, you know, you do one for like 15, 20 seconds, explore the theme, and then you sweep and you jump to a new scene and just try to show whatever theme you have in as many different ways. And we were practicing the theme of perseverance. And at that point, I didn't realize that you could do a short scene and then jump to another scene and jump to another scene. I only knew the world of mono scenes. So it was like, you start it, you finish it. And embarrassingly enough, I just ripped off a joke I saw in Family Guy, and it was perseverance. So I went down on the ground and started doing sit-ups. I went, I'm going to keep on doing sit-ups until I poop myself, and then acted out pooping myself. And then, of course, other people on the team were like, sweep this away. Let's get to something new. And I was like, weird. I don't know what they're doing. Kept on doing sit-ups, kept on acting out pooping myself for the whole four-minute scene downstage. And kept on being like, what? Well, get out of my gym. I'm pooping here. And it was just awful. I remember being like, that was weird. Everyone, and then really got noted terribly on it. I remember Jolene just being like, okay. So like, you got to look around. You got to figure out what's going on. This is how improv works. And I was like, oh, I can't just repeat funny things I've seen on TV.
Yeah.
So that was also like a very quick lesson to learn then, being like, oh my God, listening. Very necessary. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that also that probably helped me out becoming a better student in terms of shutting up and listening. Because, of course, if you take improv, you become a better listener. You have to.
If you try to take over the stage, then it's not going to work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would say that like you can have like bulldozer improvisers who will come through and clear everything. I would say that at times I still do that today. Normally at the sacrifice of being like, I think of how I could turn this around to get a joke. And I've done that at times when it's paid off, and I'm like, yeah, great, it was worth it. It's got us out of the scene, or it's a blow line. But I've also had it where I'm like, what if this was the reality? And then it doesn't land as a joke, and then you just screwed up the whole narrative for you and your glory. So,
but it's a tightrope, isn't it? Sometimes, it's almost a bit of mixed messages, which is yes and things, support your partners. But then sometimes you come in and you need to push that scene through because it's kind of faltering. And, you know, where do you draw that line between supporting the scene or putting in that monkey wrench to try to give it a different tilt to help it to move on?
Totally. I would say that a big instinct that I have in scenes is if the location hasn't been established yet and it's just like a weird character scene and it's very ethereal to then... like, all right, what would be the weirdest place for this to happen? And just think that if I'm off the side. And then walking at the end and being like, huh, Subway Sir is different today. And then you're like, oh, this was at a Subway the whole time. And I'd say 95% of the time that's worked for me. But I've also had it before. Remember there's a scene, I don't know, this year at a theater sport show earlier on in like September, where it was like a beautiful dance scene. And it was like an interpretive dance that was like really intense. And I came out and I was just like, oh, I thought this bar closed down. Just trying to make it like a specificity joke and just name it. And it was such a beautiful scene that it couldn't have existed on itself. And by me doing this, it was kind of like, all right, how desperate are you? And I got noted about it at the end of the show. I was like, yeah, that's fair. I did not need to do that. That was, yeah. I should have just let that hang.
You've been listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my special guest, Christopher Borger. Join us next week when Christopher and I will continue our conversation about all things to do with improv. Have a good week.